Return tonight to 1 Peter, the next section that we're dealing with, and it's rather too long a section to deal with in one evening. In fact, one could pick out key verses or key ideas and expand them for quite a long series if one wanted to. It's a large, beautiful passage, but we are going to try to limit ourselves to one night and dealing with verses 13 to 25 of chapter 2. And I'm not going to read it to start. What we're going to do is look at what the structure is, and then as we deal with each section, read that section at that time. So this is 1 Peter 2, 13 to 25 we're looking at. And verses 13 to 17, you'll notice, deal with submission to authorities. Verses 18 to 21 deal with submission to your boss. And verses 22 to 25 deal with Jesus' submission. And that whole fact causes one to realize we're up against quite a opposition in even thinking about submission, because it simply is not popular an idea to submit to authorities. It's astonishing to see that, well, people in our country at this particular time, some seem to be dedicated to show resistance to an authority no matter what it says. You see that happening, and it's astonishing. There are people that are willing to challenge everything that ever comes down the pike. Anything anybody ever says that ought to be, they'll challenge it. And the idea of submitting to authority riles people. People don't like the idea. And as far as submitting, even their, besides their outward obedience, their hearts and their mouths, submitting to authority is not a very popular idea. I think perhaps, although there are few ways in which we are worse than Rome at the time that Peter writes, maybe one of them that we're worse than Rome, at least Rome knew something of authority. People did submit to authority. I don't know what they did in their hearts, but we know that Rome ruled with an iron hand and people did submit. Nowadays, nobody rules with an iron hand and there's just objections everywhere. But we're speaking to authority, and God's speaking today, first in verses 13 to 17, in submission to authorities, 18 to 21, submission to your boss, and we'll look at that separately, and then submission, Jesus' example of submission. How do we take his challenge? When it's obviously going to encourage us to submit, how do we deal with that in our day? In situations of work, the kind of submission he requires is almost a kind of respect for those that are in authority. And just is so far from our world. How do you show that and look, not seem ridiculous? There's strife between workers everywhere, between workers and management everywhere. And how do you work in a situation and show respect? Those things are a challenge in our day, and I think perhaps more than in the time of ancient Rome, because there was some semblance of authority that still seemed to exist, bought at a fierce price. But in our day, we don't even have that. It's quite remarkable. But how do we do what Peter says is what we're going to look at as we open out the passage. And we're going to look at Christ, who, what he did as an example, is virtually unknown in the world in which we live. People just don't know the gospel anymore. They don't know the word of God anymore. And so what Jesus, trying to imitate Jesus, is going to be such a contrast to the world around us, they won't even understand what's going on. Well, how do we view all that? Those kind of thoughts we wanted to start with as we consider the passage. And one wonders if you'll just look like a fool if you try to do what Jesus did. How do you deal with that? We want to have those thoughts in our minds. I'm not sure whether the things I say will fully answer them, but they might prompt some further thinking and meditating. So those are the three divisions: submitting to authority, submitting to your boss, and looking at Jesus. And we're going to try to put all this as simply as possible. So, that's what we're going to try to do on a fairly long passage. Let's ask the Lord to help us. We're thankful, Lord, for your word as it speaks to us. As we thought of the fact that this may be something in which we're farther gone than even Rome was, Lord, there seems to be that in so many ways we're as bad as Rome was. Are we even worse in this regard? Well, we would like you to teach us and help us. And if the things do speak against the trend of the world around us, help us, Lord, that we might embrace your goal for us and try to be the people you want us to be. You've called us to be, as Paul says, light shining in the dark place. You've called us to live a life that causes people to ask for the reason of the hope that's within us. Even in this book, it speaks of that. Would you help us now to see what you have to say in this passage and to appreciate it, and then to determine by God's grace to live out the things that you challenge us to. We believe this is your word, and we want to receive it, and we want to understand it, and we especially want to be like Jesus. As this passage concludes with the picture of Jesus, Lord, we do desire to be like him. So help us, we pray, and grant us grace in this hour to consider this passage. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at 1 Peter 2:13 to 17, which is basically talking about submission to authorities. Chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. We're called to submit to the powers that be, submit to the authorities. So hard for us to think in terms of that because we realize there's so many things that are challenged nowadays. There's certain things we tend to do, submit to traffic laws. People generally do that. From what I hear driving in some of the Far Eastern countries, I think Melanie's description of trying to get through a street in Indonesia, you didn't know whether people would stop for red lights or not, or where people would come from, or if they drive on the sidewalk or on the road. In some countries, they've never had the background of law and submission to authority that brings them to take seriously traffic laws. At least in our country, we seem to have a willingness to submit to traffic laws. But basically, in terms of what the government does, it seems that Peter is just saying, back out of it. Let it go. Do what they need to do. That's their job. Let them do it. Rather than that thought that I must know all the details of what the government's doing and I must have my opinion and fight against all the injustices that I see, it seems that Peter is saying to back out of that rather than take that as my great challenge. That's hard to do because people are just given the idea that you ought to be writing in about this and you ought to be writing in about that and you should have your opinion on this situation or that situation, and websites will give you the opportunity to say your opinion, and the news sites think they're constant or pretend that they're constantly instructing you so you feel that you know better than the people that are over you. And they do give people the idea that they understand the issues of government better than the people in charge do. If you listen to talk show hosts, and actually I've been practicing what I preached a little bit. I've been listening to Rush Limbaugh very little lately, and there's a lot of things I just back off and do, try not to listen, because they give you the impression that you know so much more than you know. And people really call in and think they understand a whole international situation better than the people in charge. And people believe that. And so they rebel and they declare how wrong everything is and what it ought to be. And it seems so clear that this is the way that it ought to be done. And these people are idiots, or much worse, they can say, than that. And nowadays, it's astonishing the language people use. The things they have to beep out with some people who are saying how they know better than somebody else. And it's just astonishing how the whole world seems to think that they have an opinion that's worthwhile. And all they know is what they're given by the government, or not by the government, by the news agencies. And whether they understand all the factors that are involved in any decision, it's obvious they don't. But they very much feel they have an opinion. And the idea of just submitting to authority just as unthinkable in our day. You don't do it, you've got to protest, you've got to show people what idiots they are, you've got to convey, you've got to join a group, you've got to write a letter, you've got to... It seems that Peter is suggesting another way of approaching. Was there no corruption in Roman times? Was there no manipulation? Were there no false leaders that didn't live up to their responsibility? Were there no blunders in government? Well, they did have more authority than we do just to crush you. And we could say, well, I have the opportunity to make an impact because I can vote, and therefore I have responsibility to be involved in every decision. Well, that's what people, it seems to be what people are supposed to think nowadays. And it seems that Peter is urging us to pull back on that. As he says, submit to those that are over you, not just the traffic laws, but submit to the governments. It's so easy to be led into arguments and fights and disagreements about what the president, the governor, the judge, the mayor should have done. And almost as if that's our duty in knowing what the news is, that we've got to somehow right the wrongs of society. Well, that's something that we've learned in America. That hasn't always been the case in governments, and it doesn't seem to have been the case in the situation with Peter, and Peter tells us to submit to authorities. Is a problem, but I do think we've gone too far in giving the ordinary person the sense that he knows better than the president what should be done, better than the governor, better than those elected to office, better than so many others who have studied it more. We seem to be encouraged that we're to submit to authorities. Does that mean that... Well, I don't know where it puts the whole question of news, because news gives us the impression we know more than we do and stirs in us opinions that may not be founded on any reality at all and brings us into conflict with other people as we disagree on how somebody else ought to be doing their job. Well, that's the world we live in, yet Peter comes across and says, submit to the authorities. How do we deal with that? I don't have a simple answer to say this. This is a large passage to be dealing with in one evening, and I don't really have the answers to all of that. But something seems wrong in our thinking. It's our obligation to know everything that's going on and have a strong opinion and basically to fight the government. And, of course, that's what we get all the time, fight the government, people that are determined. Whatever's done, fight it, because it must be wrong because they did it. Well, it's quite a problem to deal with. That's where we are. Peter still says, submit to those in authority over you. Are there limitations to that submission? Well, yes, of course. When we are commanded to do something that's contrary to the law of God, we must obey God rather than men. But are all these issues that we're stirred up to have opinions about, do they involve that? Do they involve us in our own choices? Does it involve what we are supposed to do as human beings, making choices day by day? Does what the president does in his interchange with international leaders, does that have anything to do with how I am to serve God in the place that God has put me? Or is that a distraction caused by too much information? That would be one thing I think we have to consider. Is that what I ought to do? Do I really have obligation to watch the news every time that I'm near the television when it's on, and I should know all these things? It's my obligation to understand that and to be able to have an opinion and to discuss it intelligently. The culture says that that's our responsibility, makes us somehow feel that we don't really know the news unless we understand all these things. And I think that Peter's words kind of cuts through all that and says, submit to the authorities that are over you. And I think the limitation has to be obey God rather than men. Basically, you need to do that which God calls us to do. Now, how that's worked out and how in our society where we have the vote and all of that, I don't think I've got an answer, but I am preaching through 1 Peter, and I'm calling attention to it, and I don't think I'm giving the answer so much as I'm saying you and I need to think, what do we do with this, and how do we submit to the authorities over us, going beyond simply the traffic laws into what the government's doing, to what degree can I submit? To what degree does it involve me in something that's contrary to the law of God? I don't remember in my own life so far having a situation where I had to say I must obey God rather than man, and refusing to do something I was required to do because of conscience toward God. I don't remember that happening. I haven't made those decisions. I didn't have to deal with that personally. And I think a lot of people have very strong feelings about things they've read about. They've got a few details and they have a strong feeling. I'm not sure altogether how you handle all this. I'm not at all sure how to live in a country that has the freedom of elections and not get all stirred up with things that have not, that I know nothing about, and work on resistance to the people that are trying to accomplish the job. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure what to say. I think I have to look at the passage. I don't know what to say about that. But it does seem something's out of whack. And the sense that we are all to be understanding more than the leaders understand and resisting all the stupid things they're doing doesn't seem to be doing our country any good or ourselves any good. And I have to say that I can't remember a time, and maybe there's a time I can't, doesn't come to my mind, where the authorities required me to do something that forced me to go against the law of God. I don't remember that happening. I lived a fairly normal life, somewhat sheltered because of the work that I do and the opportunity to serve the Lord in a context where I'm not constantly confronted with those things. I think I'm sheltered, but I don't remember it coming down to that. Peter seems to be challenging us. When it doesn't come down to that, submit to the authorities that he's appointed. The whole question of authority brings us all into historical things like should we have rebelled against England and all kinds of things that come into it as you think about the whole issue of what do you do with the authorities that be. If you had been Englishman at the time of the revolution, how would you have dealt with these passages? All of those things are very interesting things to think about, and we all perhaps have our opinions there. I suppose we've got to have our opinions there somehow, but That's the challenge that's here, and he does say submit to the authorities that are over you. Make things go as smoothly as they can. Basically, focus on your responsibility to do what God's called you to do. Me focus on my responsibility, what God's called me to do, and not be the authority that can resist with any kind of certainty the powers that are over me. Opinions exist in our day. There's options existing in our day that wouldn't have come into Peter's mind. And I'm not sure what to do with them. But I think we have to look at this. Peter says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong, to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. That's the thrust of going on to show proper respect to everyone, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, honor the king. Somehow Peter simplifies it all, and somehow we need it simplified in some way. How can we simplify to the point that we are respecting the authorities over us and obeying God under their authority? That's the first division of what we're looking at. It's true that Peter lived in a different age, but Peter was inspired by the Spirit of God, and it wasn't just for his own day. And the people that were alive at the time of the revolution had to grapple with those passages. What they were doing, they had to grapple. Did they come up with the right answer? That's still a question. America's history is looked at as an experiment. It is an experiment. Can this be? Were we right in all those things? All those things come into the picture. And they often come back to the kind of thing Peter says here and Paul says in other places. Submit to the authorities over you. Paul says every authority is established by God, and resisting it is to resist God. What does that mean to us? Well, those are things to think about. And I think it's very hard to just flat out agree with the authorities that are over you. That could get some flack by people. How do we deal with it? God says it. And we need to think through ourselves. In what degree am I wasting my time becoming an authority and having an opinion and arguing a case about which I really know very little and have no power to do anything at all? Is there a sense in which that is inappropriate for me? Maybe I shouldn't listen personally to Rush Limbaugh at all. I mean, I like Rush. Everybody likes Rush Limbaugh. A lot of people like Rush Limbaugh. But is what's going on what I ought to be doing? Are there things I ought rather to be listening to that give me strength to do the things I'm called to do without having to be the authority on all the international issues about which I am informed? There's our struggle, and it's a different kind of struggle than Peter had, but he had a struggle like this. And he speaks to us from God's word, or he gives us God's word with regard to it. Well, let's look quickly at the second thing. I'm moving faster, longer than I should. Submit to your boss. Look what it says in verse 18. We're saying submit to your boss. People can argue about slaves and the whole issue of slavery and how you deal with that, but really, everybody, most workers in America are wage slaves. Few people can just pick up and leave a job and go somewhere else. Most everybody is sort of dependent on paycheck by paycheck. Most of the people in America are living paycheck by paycheck, and they don't have the option to pick up and just leave. It isn't quite so easy as it seems to some. Following your dream costs money, and being able to manipulate the situation so that I can do what I want to do is complicated, and not everybody can just do what they want. They're rather obligated to stick with what they have until something better comes along. They're wage slaves. And when Peter speaks about slaves, maybe there are more applications than we imagine. It's not just for ancient times. What should I do? What should you do in a situation where we're compelled to continue in a work that maybe we don't like every aspect of it? How do we deal with it? Well, let's look at what he says to slaves and masters. This is in verse 18. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he's conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this we are called. Well, up to verse 22 is where we want to go. And to this you are called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. It's talking about submitting to your boss. Most people live paycheck to paycheck. Most people have things that they could complain about at work. Peter says to cooperate. Further the goals of the company. Make your boss look as good as you can. Suffer patiently the injustice you'll be dealt. So much contrary to the age, which says if you're dealt with unjustly, you should go through the legal means to bring that person to account because they have no right to treat you in that way. That whole mentality that is unwilling to submit to injustice or the things that aren't right feels the obligation to have to right it. That there's my goal is right the wrongs that are going on in the system over me so that other people will be delivered from these terrible... All those things that people are stirred to don't seem to be what Peter's talking about. He grants that there are going to be those injustices. There are going to be times that you're not treated properly. There's times that people are going to take advantage of you. The times that the people in authority are not going to make the right choice from your point of view. And what does he seem to suggest you to do? Submit. Is there never a time to speak out or never to be a whistleblower? Well, whistleblower is a term that's used nowadays. It's so complicated and it's so fractured that it's hard to listen to Peter's declaration and just hear Peter say, cooperate, further the goals of the company, make your boss look as good as you can, suffer patiently the injustice that you will be dealt. Don't hate what management does. Don't say that the CEO is stupid. Don't try to work the system to your own advantage. Do what you're called to do. Cooperate. Help it go smoothly. Try. Now, if you do that, will you just look like some kind of a fool? When those people are complaining and arguing about how stupid people are, and you don't join in, are you going to receive bad vibes from them because you're not seeing how stupid certain things are or having an opinion or agreeing in some kind of way of doing some kind of work resistance situation? We're just in a situation where there's such a complication that the words of Peter just seem way too simple. And how can that be useful in a world so complex as ours? Well, I'm not willing to say Peter's wrong. I'm not willing to say that we ought to be as complex as it is, that my job needs to be know better how to run the company than the boss. I don't have to be wiser than the CEO. If I can work for a situation, it might be that I can work for them and leave their responsibility in their court and put my responsibility upon myself. And it's hard enough to do what Peter says. I'm to respect them. I'm to work not just because they're watching me, but because it's right to do my work. That even can be hard. I remember in high school working in a mailing room of a department store, and the woman over me, though I kept packing up things and preparing them to go, and I did better than anybody that had worked in the department before. I was getting so many packages done. She was not happy because it made her look bad. Normally, when the help wasn't there, she didn't get very many packages done, and she didn't want that quota to be established. I didn't realize this at the time. I thought I was doing right, but I couldn't understand why she didn't like what I was doing. Well, it's because I was working too hard. I was getting too much done. And it was making her look bad. And rather than be proud of me, I didn't understand it at the time. I look back now and see why she wasn't happy. Well, it's because I made her look bad. Well, you could have that situation where you're trying to do what you should do, makes you look bad. And you get flack. It makes other people look bad, and you get flack because of it. And Peter seems to say, just do the work you should do. All the work you can get done. Be faithful to your responsibility. Forget about running the business. That's not your job. Your job is doing what you're called to do, and do it well, and submit to all the pressures that come, and look to God for grace. It seems to be that Peter is simply saying that. But if we live that way, what an astonishing difference from the world around us. We have an age that just doesn't do this. And we're given the feeling that somehow we ought to be somehow resisting authorities when we see, obviously, how dreadful their decisions. And it's a perplexity. Peter speaks to it. I guess if there's any way it pinches your own situation, you need to look at that and say, now, why does that pinch my situation? And how am I right and it's wrong? Or how must I understand this to make me look right? What can I do? Well, that's the grappling with Scripture that you do. If you're going to be what God wants you to be, he says, Peter makes it fairly simple, submit to the authorities over you, show proper respect, obey, do your job, whether the boss is watching or not, do it as unto the Lord. It's not just Peter. Paul says the same thing. You serve the Lord Christ. The same thing is there. And I think if we do that, we're going to find we stick out, even though we try to do it humbly and without calling attention to ourselves. But it may well irritate people who don't want to work as hard as we're working. What do you do? Well, Peter makes it simpler, and I think we have to grapple with what he's saying and say, that's what God calls me to do. And we've got to see where that passage fits into us, pinches us. And we've got to say, how do I deal with that pinch when the thing the Word of God says seems to step on my toes? Do I just move my feet or do I listen? Well, that's the problem that's there. And I know I speak not from a lot of experience. I'm looking back to a long time to look at a time where I've battled with that because of the wonderful mercy of God of allowing me to be in a context where I don't have to face that all the time. But there is submitting to your boss. And God speaks to it, and God doesn't make it as complicated as it would seem to be in our day. Seems to me we've got to make it simpler and try to do what he says in this passage. Well, the last thing we want to look at is Jesus, and we see him in verses 21 to 25. I'll read that. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd, overseer of your souls. Well, I should have brought that down. You have returned to the shepherd and overseers of your soul, overseer of your souls. And that seems simple. Jesus, when he suffered, he didn't retaliate, didn't offer threats, didn't glory in the fact that one day he'd be standing and sitting on the judgment seat, we'd all stand before him, didn't throw that back in the face of anybody. He bore the affliction, the abuse, the wrong treatment. He bore it in a way that he says, that Peter says, is an example for us. So if we are to face the kind of problems that people shout about and argue about, and say we ought to move against and to right the wrongs and write laws to keep people from doing this and that, if we face some of those offenses, Peter seems to think, indeed he says, that can be an encouragement to us to remember Jesus, who faced those wrongs, faced those difficulties and struggles, faced that opposition, faced the reviling and the persecution and the rejection and the hatred that we might well face. And he entrusted himself to God who judges, and he did right. And that's lifted to us as a vision. Now, do we see clearly from looking at what I've pointed out today, the very clear issue, the way in which that applies exactly to us and how we can deal with our personal struggles? I think we just have to say where it pinches us, we need to come to God and say, Lord, give me wisdom. You do speak in your word about submission to rulers and masters. Give me grace. Show me how to do that and how to do it to the glory of Christ. And in all of it, remind me of what Jesus did when he bore this kind of thing and didn't fight in that way. He didn't think that his job at that point was to right the wrongs of society. He didn't look at it that way. And how, Lord, does that apply to me? That's the thing that this, it seems to me, should bring us to. We should look at Jesus and realize that God called us to face the kind of thing he did. But Jesus didn't cheat the system. He didn't badmouth anybody. He was wrong and abused, but he kept his mouth shut. He trusted God to vindicate him. He paid for all the wrong responses that we have made. He bore this so that we could be forgiven. He did this to bring us back. He did this to show how we should respond to the government and to the boss. We have returned to the shepherd, overseer of our soul. The shepherd, the perfect governor, perfect boss. What a thing to have a boss who's a shepherd of those that are under him. The perfect boss, he's an overseer. Overseer who's caring for those under his charge. We come to him. Responding to authorities is responding to Jesus, who is perfectly what the authorities are very imperfectly. And finishing with the picture of Jesus takes the wind out of our sails and makes us ready to respond. How we respond, how we take that and apply it to our situation, is something we've got to come before God and say, Lord, this pinches here. What do I do? And may God grant us grace to respond to God in the place where the word of God pinches and where we have to say, Lord, teach me what you would have me to be. Are you ready to respond to the crazy government under which we are called to live? Are you ready to respond to the boss that God's given you? Peter is challenging to this, and we need to take seriously his words. He will go on to talk about this as it applies to family relationships and to details of things that we'll deal with another day. But in this regard, may God help us to think it through and say, Lord, what will you have me to do? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you bore our sins in your own body on the tree, that being reviled, you reviled not again. When they hurled their insults, you did not retaliate, didn't make any threats, entrusted yourself to God. Will you help us, Lord, People are always retaliating, always returning insult for insult, always threatening. That's the world we live in. Lord, help us. Help us to know how to live in a different way. Peter makes it simple. Lord, would you make it simple for us? Would you help us to see? And would you help us to respond in a way that looks to you for strength and is helped by your Spirit to be like Jesus? Help us in these things, and thank you for speaking of them clearly and simply. Help us to take them clearly and simply. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.